We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Welcome back into WWL Sports Talk coverage. Team WWL today.
Who's that?
It's me, Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, and also Charlie Long. That was the roar of the crowd as we introduced Team WWL.
I thought maybe you just took a sip of some good drink or something. I don't know.
I wish I had a good drink right now, but we are heading into our last hour, and the weekend awaits, Jeff, and we have a day off today, tomorrow, as well as the Saints players do before they get back on the field on Sunday. Got plenty of sound to still talk about. Going to be getting into defensive tackle Brian Brzee very soon. After the first break, we'll be talking to actor, writer, comedian Chris Titone, who has Happy Gilmore 2 out now, streaming on Netflix. That might be something I end up doing tonight or tomorrow on my day off to check out the new flick on Netflix with Happy Gilmore 2, long overdue sequel.
I've seen this movie so many times. I could quote the entire movie to you, but I rewatched it the other day. It's still good. You know, like comedies can be tough. In terms of, okay, does it hold up after so long? That movie holds up, no question.
And it has the legendary Bob Barker in it.
And Ben Stiller, man. Ben Stiller with the Fu Manchu. You know, you were going to go to sleep, or I will put you to sleep.
Yes,
it's so
that's
good.
Right.
It's so good.
I forgot that part at the nursing home.
So good.
Looking at our Saints training camp talk going into wrapped up day three today for the Black and Gold. We saw Jake Haener taking reps with the first team at quarterback today. It was his turn in the rotation. Jake Haener was, like I said, the first team guy, second team with Spencer Rattler, and then third team, the rookie Tyler Shuck, and definitely didn't have many reps for the rookie Shuck today.
No, it was a limited day, but I felt like he, you know, I think a lot of it is, okay, you're going to get these guys in every situation you can, and that whether that's first team, second team, third team, you know, you're going against different combinations of defenders, different alignments, you know, and I think he's getting more comfortable. I do. And it can be difficult because you don't always know what the coaching points are. Are they looking, you know, and this is, goes back to J.J. Watt, man. He's talking about it. Like, what are you trying to do? What are the coaches coaching you to do? What are you focusing on? What is the defense trying to do? Is it red zone? Is it 2 minute drill? We haven't really gotten any situational stuff yet. I expect that'll start coming soon. It's all part of the process.
One of the things we're looking forward to, too, with Monday, the pads come on and get a real gauge of that offensive-defensive line. Told you we have audio with defensive tackle Brian Brzee, who spoke after practice today. Last season, man, nice year two for Brzee. Played in all 17 games, ended up with 25 tackles, 7.5 sacks, forced a fumble. Also had 3 passes deflected, 5 stuffs as well. Let's hear what Brzee had to say as he gets ready to go into now year 3 in Black and Gold.
I mean, you look fast. You've had a couple of, like, big, decisive, you know, obvious wins out there. Like, how did your offseason go? What did you work on? What do you feel, like, better at right now?
You're just grinding at everything. You know, I think that's something that I really, you know, focused in on this offseason. I think, you know, Coach Davis has been awesome to really just picking his brain and seeing why things work and why they don't. And he's been great for me. Just grinding at it. You know, I think just doing whatever I can to be my best this year.
Can you elaborate on Bo being here and what you guys brought to this staff?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's been awesome. He's a super high energy guy who brings his energy every single day, no matter what. And he's just a technician. He's everything you want a D-line coach. So he's been awesome for us.
What kind of goals did you kind of set for yourself this season?
And I want to win a Super Bowl every year. That's my goal. You know, we don't come out here to finish in second place. We come out here to win. So I don't think that changes no matter what.
Brian, what have you learned about, you know, first 2 years in the NFL, about the NFL, about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot different game than college. So I think the biggest thing is things that I've needed to work on that maybe I wouldn't even have thought about in college, you know, things that I can improve on. And just it's a different game. So I think that's probably the biggest difference for me.
The run stuff you had yesterday, like, obviously no pads or anything, but, like, what value do you place? Like, how do you evaluate that, like, as far as, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's no pads on, but, you know, it's still physical out there. People are moving around, flying around.
That's a big dude you toss out of the way, too.
I think just, I mean, the only difference is putting on shoulder pads. Just give me something to grab onto. So.
Is that, like, a good – you feel like you're seeing the run any different or better?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think just working on my technique, like I said, with Coach Davis this offseason has been a big help for me. And just continuing that through camp and trying to continue to improve on it. So, yeah. Man, yeah, I mean, Tyron's been just a great vet to have around. He's, I mean, an all-time locker room guy, somebody who's super supportive, another guy who's super high energy. And, I mean, he's been awesome, not only for me, but for everybody since he's been here. So, I mean, upset for me, but super happy for him. You know, he had a great career. And, you know, I think anybody here can, you know, say they grew up watching him. So just super happy for him of the career that he's had. And, you know, he gets to go rest for a little bit now. So
obviously him being a defensive back, what do you feel like being in the same
I think just his play style, like, you know, playing two different positions, obviously, you know, techniques and everything is different, but just how he flew around, he knew the game so well, and just watching how he studied, and he was just a pro's pro. So, you know, definitely I think that'd probably be the biggest piece for him.
Do you put any pressure on yourself to kind of mature in real time and become a leader in that group? Obviously Cam has been there forever, but, you know, as a guy like Tyron retires, it's kind of a void in leadership that people need to step into. Is that something you think about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think leadership comes as, like, you know, it's not something you put pressure on yourself to become. I think it comes with respect from the players around you. So I think you have to earn that leadership role. And yeah, I mean, I go out and give it everything I can every day. So, you know, I think guys will, you know, they respect that. So I think that's what it comes down to.
What have been your thoughts about Kellen Moore so far?
He's been great. He's obviously on the offensive side more than the defensive side, but he's been awesome. He's super, you know, punctual with everything we do. And, you know, everything has a reason and a purpose. So he's been awesome.
Adding a little more veteranship to the defensive side of the ball, Blackman and Bullard, what's your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, they've been awesome. You know, it's been, you know, a short time so far getting them in here. But, you know, yeah, they've been great. Got to talk with them last 2 days and, you know, pick their brains a little bit as well. But they've been awesome.
We got to see, like, I guess, videos on social, like the workouts and things.
Yeah,
you're just a lot voice of
things. He has a quick brain.
How much has he, like, been able to, like, integrate himself here? And, like, what has it been like, you know, working with him?
Yeah, no, I mean, it feels like he's been here. It doesn't feel like, you know, he's new to the team. He's been a very vocal leader, somebody who's, you know, obviously been there and done that. So just having him around and, you know, him knowing what the standard is and what it's supposed to look like, you know, people respect that and listen to him, you know, because he's been there and done it. So he's been great. He's a really good leader for us.
Brian, what's that defensive line like? A lot of players added this offseason.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, a lot of depth in there now. There's a lot of competition.
Yeah, I mean, I think always, you know, the D-line room is going to be one of the closest room in most locker rooms. So, you know, it's obviously, you know, healthy competition in there. Everyone's working, you know, working to earn a spot on the 53-man roster. So, healthy competition, guys helping each other. But, you know, we're all competing every day to be our best.
Brian, 4.5 sacks year one, 7.5 last year. Like, what's the next level for you? Like, where do you want to take your game?
We have to wait and see. You know, I think you can set goals on that. I think, you know, it's just you got to go out and play and improve it. So, you know, I don't like to give any certain numbers.
No, well, outside of numbers, just like broad strokes. So, like, what is year three, like, putting it all together? Like, what is it?
Yeah, obviously that's the goal. Yeah, I mean, playing better in both aspects of the game, run, pass, everything. I think there's just steps that you can improve on every year. And I've just, you know, tried to continue to work on, you know, everything. So just, bringing everything together. Like you said, I think that's going to be a big thing for me this year.
How do you measure success? Because everyone wants to look at sack numbers, and that's like, okay, 7 plays of your season all boiled down. Oh, it was a successful season.
Mm-hmm.
How do you measure, okay, this is how I've improved from year one to year two, year three? Like, what do you look at?
I mean, I think there's a lot of measurables on that. I think, you know, if there's one thing that you're probably going to look at the most, it's going to be, your grade sheet from your coach, right? He's going to know it the best. of how you played things, how it's supposed to look. So, and just talking to him, you know, seeing what things that he'll tell, like they'll tell you what you improved on, what you still need to work on, what hasn't changed. So, I think just talking to those guys and older players as well and seeing what they see.
Saints defensive tackle Brian Brzee, a first round pick, the 29th overall selection in 2023. And yeah, like I mentioned, led the team in sacks last season. Pretty impressive stuff for the guy. We just got to see him improve now in the run stopping game.
Yeah, it is. I do get this. The conversation around defensive linemen always irks me because it does always come back to like, yeah, 7.5 sacks. But like, how about the other 350 snaps that you played? Like, it's like, how can a season be decided by 7 snaps?
Because sacks are sexy. That's
sacks
why.
Are king, right? Yeah. But like, you got to play the run. Even like, if you make a great pass rush and you force an incompletion, it's not a sack, but that's a really productive play, but we don't talk about that. There's no number. And I know Cam Jordan always gets annoyed about that. It's like, the sacks. We're like, okay, but I played 400 snaps this season, and you're only worried about those 4 or 5 or 6? I don't know. It's such a weird position because there's so much that goes into it, but we only ever talk about that one thing.
Yeah.
But those plays change games. So when you have them, that's 7 plays that change the drive, right? And I think that's always going to be part of his game. Like, he's always going to have that in his game as the pass rush, but you're right. He's got to work on the run stuff.
We'll see if he can even boost those numbers even more for year 3 going into a new system as well. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. That's Sound Bank brought to you by First American Bank. When we get back from the break, Chris Titone, actor, comedian, also a writer. We're going to talk about his new movie that's out right now on Netflix, Happy Gilmore 2, coming back with more Sports Talk right after this on WWL.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Been talking Saints training camp. Players have a day off tomorrow. That means the media does as well. Maybe something to do in your downtime while you have a break. Check out Happy Gilmore 2, now streaming on Netflix and helping us break it down. A guy who's in the movie, been, you know him from shows, past movies like Paul Blart, Mall Cop Number 2, Grown Ups 2, as well as Deported, Home Team, Hubie Halloween. Chris Titone joining us here on WWL. Chris, thanks so much for the time. How you been, man?
Hey, what's up, man? I've done your show before. I'm back. It's my second time.
Oh, appreciate it. Yeah. You've been a busy guy. Like I said, actor, comedian, writer. I know you were also a big part in with your film in Home Team. Inspiration you got from a guy we know here of pretty well in Sean Payton. Just talk about getting, you know, your writing chops and what inspired you to get that done.
Yeah, man. I wrote the New Orleans movie. I love that city, man. I love that city. It's the best food, best people. It's beautiful. And I wrote Home Team, man. It was about the Saints, and it was a fantastic movie. I'm so excited. And off the strength of that movie, we started shooting Happy Gilmore 2. Happy Gilmore 2 is out today on Netflix. It is hilarious.
Been hearing that there's a ton of star cameos too. I don't want to, you know, spoil anything for the audience, but pretty impressive rundown of all the people that are taking part in this flick.
Yeah, there are cameos on the entire thing. Man, here's what Adam did. Okay, remember Happy Gilmore 1?
Oh, yeah.
Like all those small characters, the Mr. Mister character and the Jackass and all those characters. So now it's 30 years later, and he wrote either their son or a daughter, like that character's kin, into the movie. And all those 2 or 3 line roles, celebrities wanted because, you know, it's Happy Gilmore. So we have a lot of cameos.
Is there a cameo by Subway? I feel like Subway is like a character in this movie.
Subway's a character in this movie. We just did a Subway ad. It was me and Shooter McGavin, right? Like last month. It's out right now.
You know, Chris, so yeah, a movie like this, and I feel like very connected to this movie because it was a movie I watched probably two dozen times growing up, and I watched it again earlier this week. I can quote the entire movie. It's got to be some pressure with that, with a movie that so many people just know, and you know, there's a legacy behind it that exists, and to come back to it, like, there's got to be a lot of pressure to nail it, because if you don't, it's there's just so much legacy behind it.
Brother, I am right there with you. I was 13 when Happy Gilmore right. 1 came out. I mean, it was everything to me. So to be in the sequel is bananas, and I really think that it was everything to all of us. So when we stepped into making a sequel, you know, we had to remember that we're messing with a perfect movie. We're diving back in. I think we hit it out of the park. It is hilarious, man.
Yeah, and I think it really is. Comedies are tough because you look at a comedy 20, 25 years later, and a lot of times it doesn't hold up. This is a movie, and I don't know, a concept that holds up, because there's a theme of movies with Adam Sandler where he's just a dude that kind of finds out he has like a secret superpower, which is in this case is golf, and the water boy.
Yeah,
it was
sure.
just being mad and tackling people. Like, I don't know, there's just something about those movies that hit in that time. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that. He has like a superpower on the field in Happy Gilmore, as well as The Water Boy. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's funny, man. Those are good movies.
You mentioned, you know, the Subway and Happy Gilmore 2 collab going on. I know you also have a Snickers commercial coming up, too.
Yeah, I got a Snickers commercial. It's like an NFL collab Snickers commercial. So it'll probably be, week two or three, somewhere in there.
You have an affinity for, you know, dealing with sports, I can see.
Yeah. Sports have always followed me. I'm such an artsy, like, dude, you know. But, yeah, sports, man. Sports are fun.
Looking at, you know, I mentioned Home Team, that movie, also streaming on Netflix. Do you have any other scripts that you're working on right now?
Yeah, I just wrote my new one and sold it to Netflix. It's called 80K to Blow. It's going to take us probably, you know, a year and a half until it's out, but that one's going to be a really good one.
And can you give us kind of a synopsis of what that plot is about?
Oh my God, of course. So four guys who all grew up together. I'm still deciding on the town, probably like in Ohio. Now they've moved, you know, away from each other. They're 35 or 40 years old, and they want to hang out. So they spend one weekend a year together every year. And it's a very special weekend because they each bring $20,000. So these guys aren't rich guys. You know, they make only 100 grand a year. But this weekend is very special because this weekend it's in Miami. And together they have 80K to blow.
Okay. What would you do if you had 80K to blow on a weekend? If you're going to Miami this weekend, what would you be doing with 80K?
Yeah, what would you do? I don't know. I mean, I can tell you what they do in the movie. They do a lot of strip clubs and a lot of clubs, yeah. A lot of limos, a lot of cocaine.
I was going to say, boats, babes, and parties are definitely involved for sure.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? Home Team, I know, you know, it's such a G-rated movie, and now I'm going on to writing this. I'm all over the place, guys.
No, I can relate to that. You know, it was funny when that movie came out. It was, you know, Sean had just kind of decided to walk away, and I remember I asked him, because there's a scene in the movie where Kevin James is calling around. He's like, "Have you seen this offense?" And I think he calls Bill Cowher in the movie, and I remember, and I was like, "Did you really call Bill Cowher to?" You know, ask him about the single veer or whatever. And he was like, actually, it was Bill Parcells. But it did happen. And I appreciated that, because it's like there's certain things in that movie that you can be like, all right, I believe that's like, you know, because you have to take some artistic license with some of those things. But, you know, what was it like doing that movie with Sean and kind of mining that period of time? Because for Saints fans, it's such a weird time to look back on the 2012 season, but we're very insulated and we're looking at it from a Saints perspective. And meanwhile, Sean is out on this like kind of existential journey. I just, you know, what was that experience like?
I mean, it was so much fun to shoot it. You know, the movie takes place in Texas, but we actually shot it in New Orleans. So I got to be in New Orleans for like 3 months, living it up. It was the best time ever. I mean, it was such a great experience to see, because it was the first movie I ever wrote that got made. So all of a sudden we're on set and I'd be setting this up and be running around like a crazy person. But man, the actor started saying stuff I wrote a year ago was really, really cool.
Besides films, I know you've also been involved in TV shows, Californication, White Famous. Well, the experience of working on a TV compared to a feature film, what is that like?
TV's always a little bit more bougie, a little bit cushier because, okay. You know, they usually use the studio and, you know where your bathroom is or whatever. But, man, when you're shooting a movie, it's more guerrilla style. Like, New Orleans, it was hot. It was rainy. It was kids in the movie. It was COVID. We were having a time. It was gangster.
I know you've done, you're an actor, writer, producer. Do you have a favorite hat that you wear? Is there one that you have, the most passion for of doing?
Man, I love writing because it's me and my buddy Keith, my best friend. We just sit and write. I love acting because it's not a lot of pressure. You kind of just show up and someone else wrote it and someone else picks your clothes and someone tells you where to stand. Producing is really hard. That's definitely my third favorite.
Chris Titone joining us now. Happy Gilmore 2 out right now. You can stream it on Netflix. And can you share anything about your role in this movie and what fans can expect in the sequel?
Oh, my God. You guys are New Orleans, of course. Okay, so in the opening of the movie, Adam's got money. And within 2 minutes, I try to steal his Ferrari. I have a really Theo Vaughn kind of wig on. I try to steal his Ferrari. He catches me. He beats me up. And it turns out I'm not a thief. I'm the repo man. He missed a payment. So because he beats me up, I sue him for all his money. And that's how we make Happy Gilmore 4.
Awesome stuff, Chris. Definitely appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us. And best of luck and looking forward. Like I said, we don't have any training camp practice tomorrow, so I'm going to end up streaming Happy Gilmore either tonight or watching it tomorrow morning. And thank you so much for joining us, Chris, and best of luck to you.
Dude, you're the best. I'm so happy to be talking to New Orleans. I wish I was there at Toast right now.
Cheers, man. Appreciate you, Chris.
Later.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Titone, actor, comedian, also writer, Home Team involved, that story based loosely around Sean Payton. And yeah,
it was based directly around Sean Payton. Now, I think there was some artistic license taken in how
and
the story
casting too,
played
of
out.
Who it was.
The funny thing, one of the funny criticisms I saw of that movie is Sean's office. It has a window looking out on the Superdome, which as we know, their facilities in Metairie, which you're nowhere near the Superdome. And it was just kind of funny things like that. But it's you're not making that necessarily for New Orleans. You're making it about New Orleans for everyone. So the only locals, and I think there's some funny elements of the movie where if you're a local, you're wait a second, you're not in Benson Tower. What are you doing there, Sean?
I always wonder too how Sean Payton felt about being cast as Kevin James.
He liked it. I did talk to him briefly because he had kind of a farewell dinner with the media.
Yeah, right.
And it was funny because he was leaving and I was getting in an Uber. He was getting in an Uber, and there was some drinks flowing that night. We felt pretty good. And I asked him.
Sean's a hoot away from football.
He is. He's so funny when he's not in that mode of, because he's so serious all the time. And when you can get him outside of that bubble, he's a storyteller.
Oh yeah.
He wants to talk, and that's where you get into trouble. It was a trick with Sean. If you tried to go directly at something, he would be very coy about it. But if you got him telling stories, you could get him to tell you stuff he would never tell a soul because he just couldn't help it. He just has that gene in him. Once you get him outside the football bubble, he opens up real fast.
Definitely looking forward to seeing Chris Titone's latest action with Happy Gilmore 2 out on Netflix right now. Make sure you check it out, folks. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get back into our football mode, doing a little more of our sound bank here on WWL. Who dat?
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Back here on Sports Talk, we just talked to Chris Titone about Happy Gilmore 2 that's now streaming on Netflix. Check it out, folks. Happy Gilmore 1, like Jeff, you were saying, definitely an iconic film. Quotable. Tons of quotes you can get from that. I love the part 2 where they're in the ice skating rink, and the lights go down, music starts playing, and the girl talks with Happy, and he's like, "What? You know, friends listen to
Endless Love in the Dark.
Right? Yeah, exactly."
Yeah.
Checking in our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can sound off too, folks. 504-260-1870. We got Sam in Gretna right now, wants to tell us a Sean Payton story. What you got for us today, Sam?
What's up, Sam?
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing? While we're talking about Sean, I got a funny little story. I got crippled with neck surgery. Wrong guy operated on me. But anyway,
oh,
I used to do transportation, airport trips, tours, limo stuff and everything. And I was out at the airport, and it was it wasn't immediately after, but Charlie, you were here back then. Remember when Sean got taken out on the sidelines of that Tampa game?
Oh yeah, absolutely,
sure.
Yeah. Anyway, Jeff, that's probably before his time here. But anyway, I run into him not right away, a few months later, right at the airport, just chit chatting. I'm waiting for my passenger. I'm not you know driving for Sean. Waiting for my passenger, and I'm not going to talk his ear off or something. It's like, you know, hello, little banter and all that. And I said, Coach, how's your knee? And he smiled like I just bought him a steak dinner. He smiled. He shook his head. He says, it's fine. He says, it's so funny. He says, out in the public, you know, not my players or my family or friends, but out in the public, he says, you're the first one that's asked that. And you know what he says then? He says, hell, if that was Breeze, that they'd be asking me that 24 hours a day. I mean, that like made his day, you know? And he says, yeah, if that was Breeze, they'd be asking me about that all the time, you know? But that was pretty funny, though.
I think it was Jimmy Graham that rolled into him, too, right?
It was Jimmy Graham. Yeah, the coaches don't get on the injury report, but that was a significant one. Like, he was on crutches for a while. I do remember. I wasn't here at that point, but I do remember it happening because it's not very often that the coaches get injured.
Right.
You know? I think he called a couple games from the booth. Or no, didn't? That's the Pete Carmichael game where they blew out the Colts, right? That was the game we all look back on and be like, wow, they beat him like 63-7. And John Payton was up in the booth with Pete Carmichael calling the game.
Definitely fun times. I just remember distinctly, too, when Sean Payton was driving around, was, you know, working with a golf cart at practice. And for some reason, at that day, it was just me and Mike Triplett that showed up to the Saints practice. And Sean drives up right under the cart with us. He goes, we're going to be at the indoor facility. Get in.
He just drove you?
Yeah, so we hopped in the golf cart and went from the outdoor field to the indoor field, which wasn't a hard far drive at all, but it was just amusing. I was like, wow, Sean picked us up in the golf cart.
Sean was your chauffeur.
Yes,
Sean,
exactly.
Sean Fuhrer, if you will. I hope someday the Saints are as fun again as they were during the Sean Payton era, because that's honestly like the problem. That's the biggest problem that existed in the Dennis Allen era. Not even like that they lost games. Like, they lost games in the Sean Payton era. You didn't have all winning seasons. You had 3-7-9 seasons in a row, but there was something about those games that was at least enjoyable. Like, you can be bad and entertaining. You can be good and boring.
The first 2 weeks last year were entertaining.
Yeah, but then the rest of the season was misery.
No,
it was slow torture. And it's like, here's the thing. You can be bad and interesting. You can be good and boring. You can't be bad and boring. And with Sean, it was never boring.
No, that's for sure.
Never boring. Like, some of the most entertaining games you've ever watched are in those 7-9 seasons. Like, that game against the Giants at the Superdome, I still have, like, stress reactions when I see the highlights from that game. And you see, Shane Vereen just going off for the Giants. Guys you didn't even know were on the team catching touchdown passes. And, you know, Ben Watson was catching touchdown passes in that game. Willie Snead, you know, Brad Wing face masking a dude, and who's it, Garrett Hartley at that point, right, kicking the field goal. Man, I hope, you know, I don't know if they're going to win the Super Bowl, if they're going to win a ton of games with Kellen Moore this year, but I hope that they at least are fun. And that was the greatest victory of the Sean Payton era, is he made the Saints fun.
I miss the fun, too, when we had Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, and everybody was going goo-goo gaga over, what was it, Airheads, the Taffy.
Yeah, Airheads, yeah.
They
he got his own, like, custom Airhead.
Yeah, exactly. And those two together were just like Don't Miss TV post game too. They were doing like joint interviews, and it was not boring.
Yeah, with the ski masks
exactly,
and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
So what are we going to do to get back to being, you know, not just relevant, but also an entertaining squad?
I don't know. That's the greatest mystery of all. How can you do it? I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I think it has to be with, you know, you have to win games first to get people on board. And I think they could do that, but we'll see.
The good thing is with the so little expectations around this team, I feel like the only way to go up right now for the black and gold is up, because I know some people have talked about this Saints being a two-win team, but there's just no way in heck that I see that being a realistic option with this squad, looking at not just the talent, but also the schedule that they have.
It's so difficult to lose 15 games.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost more difficult to lose 15 games than it is to win 15 games. Because, like, it's just, it's if you're trying to win games, you're going to run into wins. Right? Like, you're going to catch teams that don't have their quarterback. You're going to catch teams that maybe have already packed it in for the season, and you're a team that's trying to win.
Or a squad that's also overlooking you. We also have on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line before we head to break. Want to talk to Jimmy in Gretna. Two calls from Gretna back to back. What you got, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Doing all right.
How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Happy birthday to Alvin Kamara. He's officially 30. And we're going to be leaning on him a lot this year. Hey, look, I saw Tyler Shuck. He tweeted he's going to the Creed concert tomorrow night at Smoothie King Center. So I'm bringing my football into the concert, try to get an autograph from our quarterback. I'm not sure if he's going to be our starter. I do think Rattler's going to start the year. It'll be up to him to stay healthy and to keep his job. I think he's going to get that shot. But if he gets hurt or struggles, it's going to be Kellen Moore's guy, Shuck, coming in. Because, again, Kellen Moore handpicked that guy. But I want to get your take on, you know, we talked about the wide receiver room earlier this week. Looking at the running backs, Alvin Kamara's getting older. Kendre Miller, I think it's a make-or-break year for him. And Isaiah Foskey, make-or-break year for him as well. What's your take on those two guys we drafted that just haven't exactly panned out yet?
Thanks for the call, Jimmy. And have a good time at Creed tomorrow. I was tempted to end up going to that concert. I found that in my older age, I was became more of a Creed fan.
Creed slaps, man.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I have people talk down on Creed. I'm a Creed dude. Creed slaps. Like, you forget how many bops Creed has. And then you start, like, you go down a playlist. And you're like, oh, man, I forgot about this. But you know all the words. And you're like, yeah, it's beautiful. I wanted to get tickets. That kind of passed me by. But I'm excited for you. I'm excited for Shuck. I hope Shuck's out there. I'm out there bopping to Creed.
Looking at that running back room, yeah, with Kendre Miller, I think we've noticed that the talent is there. The problem is the availability is the problem with him. And can he find a way to keep his body in shape and, you know, on the field for this team? We've heard it all the time. Can't make the club in the tub. And that's been the situation, unfortunately, for Kendre Miller. I don't think that he's in danger of getting cut by this team at all, because I do see great value there with this running back and a guy you've invested in. It's just the fact, like I said, the injury history for him has been the problem, and that was like the worst hamstring issue ever. And, you know, you suffer at the first day of training camp last year, and it just lingered on forever.
I wouldn't say there's no danger of him being cut. But I do think he has an advantage in the fact that he's under team control for two more seasons, including this one, right? So if you do want to keep that guy around because you have that investment in him, and if he plays really well this season, you don't have to worry about signing him, right? You can just bring him back. So they're going to give him every opportunity to potentially take that job, but he's got to earn it and he's got to go out there and get it. And you know, I'm not trying to jinx him, but he's healthy right now, and that's good to see.
And as for Foskey, I don't know what to make of him, Jeff, because I've seen him play special teams a bunch of snaps, but getting any reps on the D-line, it hasn't been anything consistent or of note. Maybe Brandon Staley finds a way to unlock him, but right now it just seems like wasted potential right there with him.
We'll see. I mean, you got to get him on the field. Like, I got to see him play.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is no snaps.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll wrap things up, talking all things OTAs. And I mean, Saints training camp. We're past OTAs, folks. Training camp day three was a wrap. We're going into the fourth practice on Sunday, and then padded practices kicking off on Monday. So be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, I want to remind folks, if you have any gardening, DIY, or home repair questions, don't miss the Garden Show with Dan Gill. That's tomorrow morning from 9 to 11 a.m., followed by the Home Improvement Show with Paul LaGrange from 11 to 1. You won't find more knowledgeable or approachable consumer experts. They're all pros and love helping people. That's Dan Gill followed by Paul LaGrange. Great shows every Saturday. That's 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We concluded another workout with the Black and Gold today. It was day three of Saints training camp. One of the last ones in not padded practices. They'll be scattered about once we do finally get the pads on Monday. But from starting next week is when the competition's really going to amp up. We're going to see that battle in the trenches start to shake out. We got so many questions about the offensive line. About the new draft pick and Kelvin Banks Jr. And then what's a guy like, you know, we got Trevor Penning learning a new position at guard. Is he going to be able to sink or swim in that spot? Because that's going to be so key for this O-line going forward and how things gel together. For Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Thanks for listening into this Friday edition, folks. Hope you enjoy the weekend. We will be back Monday with more Sports Talk and the Cajun Cannon back in the house with us next week. So you'll make one a short two to tune in for all our wrap.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes?
Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.